Thank you, Lord. Just thank you for today. Thank you for everything you give us. A beautiful day. You know, the sun's out, air to breathe. Lord, thank you. And thank you for loving us and guiding us. We pray that you guide us here today, Lord, that it's your words be spoken, not mine, but yours. And that we could maybe get something out of it, something that will help us get closer to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're in, Julian doesn't know because he hasn't been here, but Revelation. We're in Revelation. It's just a book what happened. And we're in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. And Mia, you want to feel like reading? All right, so beginning of the chapter, for those who were not here or the ones who were here, so the beginning of the chapter, yeah, both boys were not here. So it says another beast. So there was a first beast. So the first chapter, there was a first beast. And that first beast came out of the sea. So it was a little bit different than the second one because the second one came out of the earth. Now, the sea kind of pictures, it gives you the picture that the beast came out of the world or the world influences. Where this beast came out of the earth, this would have been a beast that came out of like religion or a trusted fashion like that, probably Middle East. So Jerusalem, yes. That's a good note. But this is a special dragon, not special good, special dragon because he represents an entity. He represents the devil. He represents Satan. Now, it talks about this beast has how many horns? Two, right? It has two horns like a lamb, right? Horns always represent power. Probably more likely there's two horns, so there's two different powers, probably physical realm in the spiritual realm, having power in those realms. It says that it looks like a lamb, but talks like a dragon. The sheep, what is that big horn sheep? Yeah.
How come demons have horns, but there are animals with horns, but they're not bad?
I don't know. They just, somewhere down the line, humans said, oh, you know what? If they're, you know, horns look kind of devilish. There is.
And if the tails were in the shape of a heart or something.
Right. You know, it's just been a image, but actually it's kind of can be a false image because Satan's actually been known to be, you know, he's not going to present himself to you like this horrible, ugly thing. He's going to be like, oh, look at, he's all nice, he's pretty, and that's how he's going to seduce people. But he's talking about this lamb, this beast, what looks like a lamb, but talks like a dragon, right? So there's also somebody else what's been called the Lamb of God. Anybody know who that is?
A lamb.
Jesus. What? Jesus. Is that what she said? Oh, okay. So yeah, Jesus is called, referenced as the Lamb of God. But then who's the dragon? I just told you. Satan, right.
This is how you say Jesus in Spanish. Jesus.
Jesus, right? Exactly. So there's also this old adages or references. So if it's a lamb, but it's not really a lamb, it'd be a sheep and sheep's or sheep's. All right, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. I really messed that one up. Matthew 7, verse 15.
A sheep in wolf's clothing.
Right. Julian, you want to read that?
Where are false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves?
Right. So the second beast is the end-all, be-all false prophet. A wolf in sheep's clothing. Obviously, that's somebody looks like somebody you could trust, but you can't trust them because they're a wolf. That's their true intent, is being wolf. And this beast is not going to be good. He might look like it, and that's how he's going to deceive people. He's going to look and kind of present himself as being good and holy, but he's going to be straight up evil. Revelations chapter 13, verse 12. James.
And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound is healed.
All right, so he's going to work hand in hand with the first beast. These two beasts are going to be, conspiring together. And this false prophet, he's trying to get people, his job is to get people to worship the first beast, which is AKA the Antichrist. And we need to make a mental note here. It mentions the deadly wound, right? Deadly wound that the first beast will get, and then it's healed. John tells us again, he mentioned it just a couple verses before all this. So this must be a big sign or a big reason people turn to worship him versus Jesus. So it's something to look for, because when the Bible repeats something, that means it's important, or it's something people might miss. It's something to emphasize on. So he mentions that in the Revelations chapter 13, verse 13. Stephen.
He performs a great sign so that he makes fire come down from heaven of the earth in the sight of men.
All right, so this beast, this false prophet, is going to be able to perform miracles, right? Elijah, a prophet of the Old Testament, he called down fire from heaven. I don't know if you ever heard that story, but he was able to do it. And then in Revelations, a few chapters ago, there was two witnesses that were able to do that same thing. They were able to cause fire down. Satan likes to imitate God. Close but miles off from God. But it appears somewhat close. Different reasons, different meanings why he does this. Satan does these things to deceive people. To think that, it might be good because God did it, but he does this to deceive them. It's kind of like, have you ever been to a magic show or seen a magic show? No? No? Ever heard of a magic show?
Yeah.
Yeah. People with card tricks and everything. You've seen one? I didn't see you say yeah. Oh, okay. It could be really entertaining. Could be fun. You're like, how'd they do that? But exactly, magic isn't real. They don't really have power. Right, God can do anything. But these entertainers, they actually don't have power.
You can just make your computer disappear.
You could. I'd be lost. There are times where we can't just look at the wonders, if somebody did something wondrous in front of us, or the miracles. We also need to judge the message. Judge people not with just one action, but what their continuous actions produces. You know, does it produce something good, or is it only elevate themselves? Oh, there could be, and this actually applies to everything in our life. You know, how we choose friends, you know, how we choose maybe an athlete that we like. You know, oh, he's really good at a sport, but is he a good guy? Is he really a role model? Or, you know, something was hit me, and, you know, every once in a while, I'll listen to, you know, the oldie station or the classics. And there's songs with really catchy beats, right? And it's like, yeah. And then you start listening to the lyrics, and you're like, what am I listening to? You guys ever experience that? And you're like, I don't know if I should be listening to this. Yeah, I mean, I like the song, I like the music, but I don't like the lyrics. Right. Sometimes, yeah, there are definitely some songs that you actually need to look at the lyrics. Right. But then there's some songs where you and there are songs too. Revelation chapter 13, verse 14. Michelle. All right, so because of these signs, because this fire coming down, he's able to, you know, to persuade people, to make them think or that he is more powerful than what he is. And then again, he talks about this wound. Right? He gives a little bit more detail. He talks that it's wounded by the sword. So, you know, a weapon of war. We still don't know for sure if it's like an assassination attempt or he was actually in battle when this would happen. But it has to be a big deal because this is the third time John's mentioned this. So it's just something to watch for. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So this reference as far as in the tribulations, it's going to be like a seven-year period of time. And in the halfway mark, the beast is going to put up an image in the temple. In this temple, he's going to command people to worship that image. So it talks about this prophet being able to cause the image to speak or to actually speak in movement. Two letters, AI, right? Possibility. You know, are the Terminator movies less sci-fi and more predictive? You don't know. And then maybe you don't watch, or have never seen the Terminator movies. You know, robots attack. Or could it be an image on a screen? You know, John probably has never seen a tablet before. Or an iPhone, right? So he might be like, whoa, he's making these image speak. These are just possibilities. You know, whatever it is, the people who do not worship the Antichrist, the people who worship God, they are going to be, right? These beasts will have their own police force. and they will force either to worship or death. Right? It's going to be a scary time for Christians. Revelations chapter 13, 16 and 17. Yeah.
Causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
All right. So has anybody heard of the mark of the beast?
No.
No. No. So this is where they get the mark of the beast. I'm sure you probably will hear it. Yeah. So there you go. And we'll talk about this. So there's a mark, right? And we're going to talk about what that mark could be in just a minute. But I want you to think about this. Is without that mark, you're not able to buy or sell. Now, what would that mean? You don't know, like, what about food and water?
Manipulation.
Yeah, exactly. It would manipulate people because, do you like food?
Yeah.
Do you like water? Do you like drinks?
Yeah.
Kind of need it. Yeah. What about rent or a house?
Rent
is when you don't own a house, but you have to pay rent. You know, instead of a mortgage, you pay rent to live in a hotel, or not a hotel, an apartment or a house. You have to pay rent. Well, your parents have. Right. Right, but then when you buy a house, you get mortgage, so it's just another name for rent. But so that is a big deal, right? Is not being able to buy or sell. It's a huge deal. All right.
Yeah.
And then you do it again. It does sound like that. Receiving this mark, that people will know they're receiving the mark. And that mark will tell people, it's like, yes, I'm in line with this person. And I hope that they know, okay, I'm aligned with the Antichrist. Because I could see a lot of good people would want to provide. Will be manipulated into doing things they don't necessarily want to do, but they feel like they have to do. They're going to be deceived and thinking, this is better than worshiping the one true God. And it's going to be tough. Now, as for the mark of the beast, what is the mark of the beast? There's been a lot of ideas, like throughout Revelation, there's a lot of ideas floating around there. Now, a very popular one, you would say, is in the 80s, 90s. So you remember those times? Yeah. There was this talk about putting microchips into people. It's still around. You know, they'd put it off. Oh, well, then you will never lose your credit card. Means to buy things. You'd never get lost because we'll know exactly where you're at. GPS, right? And they were planning on putting these, because the lithium batteries in your hand, and there was talk about in your head. Because then people wouldn't chop off your head because to get rid of the chip, because then you'd die. But the even more scary thing at that time, they were talking about this big, huge computer base, what was going to store all this data, and its nickname was the Beast. So this was in the 80s and 90s. That was going on, and then, but people, they used a lot of cash back then. They didn't use a lot of transfers. In the financial world system, they didn't really get along. You know, they didn't work well together. But 30 years later, you know, some places don't take cash. You know, they get rid of the penny. And there's more interactions with your credit card or your bank card. You know, Switzerland has tested and put in, you know, microchips into thousands of hands. You know, and then there's this other small country in, what was the name? Oh, yeah, the United States have been in this technology. You know, it started with the dogs. It's crazy to think about, you know, like dogs and cats have been chipped since the 80s. So it's been around a long time, but it's just getting closer and closer. You know, that is just a theory. We don't have anything concrete, but that's a possibility. You know, another popular theory is that it's more spiritual. That worshiping Satan with our forehead would also be our mind, right? Worshiping with our mind and worshiping with our hands. So what we do with our hands, right? Our actions, our work. We're worshiping the devil. Idle hands are the devil's playground. It's an old saying. It means if we're not up to something good, more likely we'll be up to something bad. You know, if we're going to be doing this, if we're going to be worshiping Satan with our mind in our hands, ultimately, doesn't that mean that we are taking his mark? You know, it's kind of like the opposite end of the things. If we worship Jesus in our heart and in our mind, God puts a seal on us. You know, again, Satan likes to imitate. You know, both have their logics. And they both have little jigsaw puzzle-like things which just kind of fit. Right? I mean, I could spell things out, but sometimes things are leaps, and I can make it seem like, oh yeah, that's definite. But, you know, there's other ideas. You know, some are even crazier. It's like, no way. But then there's some that are a little less crazy. Sometimes the best place to hide something is out in the open. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes it's just, it's kind of, you know, the devil is a trickster. And people tend to think, well, it's so obvious, then it should be fine. Or it's so obvious, it can't be true. You know, because it's right there. It's looking at you right in the face. So is this what he's doing? Is he making it so? This is what it is. But we think it's a lie. We think it'll be a lie. You know, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and swims like a duck, it's probably a platypus, right? Oh, no, it's probably a duck. Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. Julian?
Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, his number is 666.
All right. And you guys ever heard of that, 666? Yeah. Right, it's a bad number. We all know that. Bad juju. The name of the beast is the number of a man. The number is 666. So just kind of like the mark of the beast, there's been a lot of ideas here. A lot of people throw out different thoughts. And then it says if the wind calculates this, right? So there's people have come up with all kinds of codes. They've had codes during war so that people don't know what each other's talking about, right? And then if you put a value to a letter, say like A is 1, B is 2, and so on and so forth, right? Then you could have a little code. If you calculate that code, Gary Heilman would be a value of 112. Yeah. Name, that name, Gary Heilman, would have a value of 112. If that was the Revelation was written, most scholars feel like it was written in Hebrew. It could have been written in Greek. They don't feel like it's really written in Aramaic. But both Greek and Hebrews have, you know, a different alphabet, right? And they have different values, and they would do that. They would have put values on their letters. Now, in that, those letters, Caesar Nero would add up to, what do you think the number would be? Any guesses? 666, exactly. Now, but also throughout history, there's been plenty of names would add up to 666. What? I don't know. Maybe 555? Well, then God's number should be 777 or 911 because we need his help, or I don't know. It doesn't specifically say stuff like that. So, but I will get to that in just a minute. Now, there's been an idea what's been growing traction, which means it's getting more and more popular. Right? There's been an idea, and it's been talking about lately, is that there's this group, this Islamic group. What, you know, they're pretty, you know, they like war. But they've been wearing these headbands. These green headbands with white, and it looks, to me and to most Americans, it looks like scribbles, right? But it's a headband. You know, and those symbols are the Hebrew symbols for which number, do you think? Yep, 666. So in their where are they wearing this? Where do you have a headband? On your forehead, right? So mark on your forehead. Huh?
Wear a headband on your head. Your head on your forehead. No, it's not here, it's right here.
No, you can wear them here.
No, you can wear them here. Right, old school, when you're running, you have a sweatband. It's like right here, that's a headband. We're not talking girls with little frilly in your hair. So, for guys, headbands are worn right here. They're not worn here. All right, so. So then there's this other popular, and I think James kind of touched into it, is that, you know, is 666 the number of mankind? No. And they go through this, and that was very a lot of people think in this is that 6 is less than 7, right? 6, 7, right?
No, I don't think
so. So 7 is the number of completion. And that's why they figured God is complete and perfect. 7 is perfect. So we're less than God in 6. And it goes through a lot of that, the different things. Is the name of the beast going to add up to 666? Or does it just mean that he's just a man? He's not a god as he claims to be. He doesn't really have power. Even though Satan gave him power, but he's just a man. Or can both be truth? And I'm not giving you any definites. In Revelations, we don't know because it is future. We're kind of just kind of gleaming. But I feel like the main point is that we're aware of the surroundings. You know, we're aware of something, what may come up, and we're going, okay, you know what, I remember something, and this might be dangerous. This is, might be something where I shouldn't be a part of. You know, we're not talking about living in fear, but knowing, the knowledge of knowing something might happen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, James.
Why is my brain so small?
Huh? Really? I've never heard that before. But your brain is an amazing thing. They say that you could recall everything you've ever heard, ever seen in your brain. Did you know that?
No, I can't do it.
It's just the recall factor that you don't know. But James, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Right. He almost said it like a song the first time. Be sober.
What?
Be sober. Be vigilant. Or a cheer. Right? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But I feel like the scary thing about mountain lions are, it's kind of like a house cat. They're very stealthy. They're very silent. You ever see a house cat and they're like trying to prey? It's like they don't make noise, right? Until it's that when they pounce.
My cat sometimes tries to scare us when we walk by, so she hides, and then she's like, "Whee!"
Right.
She's small, she doesn't scare us.
But you don't notice until it happens, right?
She thinks if she can't see us, and we can't see her, so she hides in the most obvious places and tries to scare us.
Right. But here, so those are silent killers, right? But here, the devil is a roaring lion. If we're thinking clearly or soberly, that's what it means, is to think sober, is that we're not distracted, we're not clouded, we're being sober, and then we listen of what's going on around us, we should know where the danger's at, right? We should have at least a little bit of a clue where danger's at. You know, being prepared, knowing that drugs and alcohol are not, you stay sober, right? That it's not a good path. You know, the percentages, and not everybody doesn't like statistics because it's like, oh, they're just numbers and probably it's not going to happen to me. But they're out there because it happens. College parties, in strangers' vans are probably not things where good things don't happen, right? Remember, roaring lion. You know, it's don't be there. It might be that it's so loud, you know, you'd be like, oh, how can you not miss that? But people do. You know, God wins. That's what we get out of Revelation. God wins. Things might look really dark, but God wins. It doesn't mean that it's okay to fall in every pothole in the road of life. Right? It doesn't mean that we're scared and we don't walk because we're afraid of those potholes. It means that we look out for those, and maybe we could avoid one or two. And we need to remember about that there is don't be a beast that's don't be mortally wounded, right? These are just things we look out for. There are certain things we look out for, like that roaring lion. If there's a roaring lion out there, you want to avoid it, right? Same thing. We want to avoid these things the Revelations talks about. Let's go ahead and end in prayer. Michelle?